Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there are those that say, I don't know about those charismatics. They are so emotional. They're too emotional for me. I tell you, when you love somebody as much as we love God, you just got to get emotional about that. And when we serve as good a God as we do, you just got to be emotional about that. I tell you, if there wasn't anything good enough in God to cause us to get stirred up, what kind of God would he be? He wouldn't be a God worth having. I've said to you before, if my wife didn't get me emotionally involved with her, she wouldn't be a wife worth having. And so would you say the same about yours? And if our God is not God enough and good enough to get us emotionally stirred up about him, then he's not a God worth having. But praise God, he is worth having. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. I want to share with you a word tonight. I believe it'll be fairly brief, but I don't really know. It could be, I could take off like my brother did earlier. And really get to sharing some things, which would be fine. But I was struck this week twice with something. And again tonight, as I think about new believers coming into the kingdom. You know, there's something I think sometimes that we do not clarify with new believers. And Robert, you especially want to listen to this tonight, but not only you, but Kathy and Kenny and everyone else who has recently been born again. And even if you've been born again long time ago, but this ministers to you, listen carefully. Because I believe God wants us to see tonight where some of our troubles come from. Why we have difficulties in our lives, in our Christian lives. If you'll turn, please, in the book of Numbers to the 33rd chapter, the 55th verse. You know how I like to minister out of the Old Testament and take these Old Testament stories and just to see how God was dealing with them and to consider them as types and shadows of New Testament circumstances and people, and that means us. And how many times that we have shared here from the pulpit and also in private teaching that in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament passages, if you will understand these Old Testament characters as types and shadows, the stories will minister to you. Now, these are the types. The children of Israel are God's chosen ones, those that he has delivered out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. They are types of the born-again Christian in today's world, whom God has redeemed out of slavery and delivered out of the land of Egypt. The children of Israel, that's you, okay, in terms of the type. The promised land into which God was taking the children of Israel is the land of promise that God takes us into, our inheritance of the riches of Christ, the inheritance that belong to the saints in light. The promised land, the land that's flowing with milk and honey, is not the land that's in heaven when we get there. Because the scripture teaches us that the promised land in the days of the Old Testament was a land in which there were giants and enemies. And there are no giants and no enemies in heaven. So the promised land couldn't really be heaven, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the Christian life. It's the fullness of God's blessings that we enter into when we're saved. When we're born again, we enter into the promised land, or we're supposed to. All right? The enemies that fought against the children of Israel in the days that they came into the promised land are the enemies that wage war against us today. The enemies that fought against Israel, the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Amalekites and the Canaanites and all of those different ites that were the enemies of God's people in the land of promise are foreshadows and types of those that are our enemies today. Now listen carefully. Our enemies today are not our unsaved out in the world. They are not our enemies. Paul said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemies today, you see, are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in high places. They are demon enemies. Okay? All right, so the children of Israel, they're a type of the Christian today. The land of promise, flowing with milk and honey, is a type of the Christian life today, flowing with the blessings of God, prosperity and healing and blessing and joy and peace and love. And the enemies that they fought in that day, that fought the children of Israel, all those ites, they are types and shadows of demonic forces that are arrayed against the children of God today. All right, now understanding that typing and that foreshadowing, well, if you've never heard that before, this will really open up the Old Testament for you, and it'll really speak to you. And it'll be more than just interesting stories. You'll see, our brother said tonight that the Lord God changes not. And he said that in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he is the same God, then the way in which he dealt with the people in that day is the same way that he's dealing with the people today. That which he expected of his chosen ones in that day is the very same thing that he expects of us today. If he expected them to be holy, then he expects us to be holy. If he expected them to worship him and praise him, then he expects us today to worship him and praise him. He expected offering to come from them. He expects offerings to come from us in the same way. If he expected them to live for him and serve him, then he expects us to live for him and serve him today. All right, now, with that background, let's look at this story, and I think this will minister to you. Reading in the 55th verse of Numbers, the 33rd chapter. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, this is God speaking, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Now listen carefully. When God sent the children of Israel across the River Jordan, into this land that was flowing with milk and honey, he said, I will fight your battles as you go. Every place you put your foot, I'll give you that land, but you must utterly, utterly, utterly drive out every enemy that is in the land. Do not you marry any of those ones that are still there. Don't you have anything to do with the people that are there. I am giving their land unto you. He told Joshua, you're going to reap from a vineyard that you didn't plant. But you must utterly, utterly, utterly expel from the land of promise every one of these enemies of God. And he said, moreover, if you will not do it, if you permit some of them to stay there, if you do not utterly drive every single one out, that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Now, understanding what we've just said about the types and shadows, God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture, when you come into the Christian life, when you are born again of the Word and the Spirit of God, when you enter into the life of Christ, you must utterly drive out from your life every single enemy of God, bar none. If you do not clean your life out completely, God says those things that you allow to remain, however insignificant they may be, they will prove to be thorns in your flesh and pricks in your eyes, and they will vex you and trouble you and torment you in the land in which you dwell. And while you're trying to grow your crops over here in this good land God gives you, the enemy will be out there with his fire torches trying to burn your corn crop down. And while you're trying to receive your healing from God, the demon will be there trying to hinder your healing from coming. And while you're trying to win your family to God, that demon will be there, that one that you've permitted to lodge in your life and would not expel. He will be there, a thorn in your flesh and pricks in your eyes, so that you'll not be able to have the perfect peace that God wants us to have. Do you see it? Now turn over to the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter. Now, don't anybody get concerned. If you didn't do this, you still can. Okay? If you didn't know this and you didn't quite do it all, you still can. It's not too late to do it. But the reason I suggested that our brother here listen carefully is it'd be a good time for him to do it. See, right now, tonight. And anyone else who has not utterly, utterly, utterly driven out every enemy. Joshua chapter 23. Verse 8. Well, let's start at verse 6. We'll just read a good bit of this here. This is Joshua's speech before the children of Israel. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, and that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Out of the mouth of two or more witnesses shall a thing be established, God said. Verse 14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. In other words, Joshua is saying, don't you make a mistake. Everything that God promised you, it has not failed you. Neither will it fail you, but beware and be careful about these enemies. All right, now turn over to the book of Judges, to the first chapter. And we'll see what the children of Israel did. They had ample warning, as we are getting tonight. Ample warning. Let's see if they obeyed. I'm just going to read selected verses out of the first chapter, and then we'll go into the second chapter. Verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now, is it interesting to you that the children of Benjamin did not drive out the inhabitants, but they left the enemy stay there? And in the passage of scripture that I read to you this morning out of the 19th and the 20th chapter of the book of Judges, the town of Gibeah, where all of these homosexuals were, was a town of the tribe of Benjamin. You find that curious? All it is God's word coming to pass. They would not drive out the Jebusites, And they began to be ensnared by the thing that had ensnared their enemies, and they partook of it, and they were beaten down by it. And ultimately, God had to destroy them in the passage of Scripture we read this morning. Now let's look over verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong. Now listen to this. When Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute. In other words, they made slaves out of them. Instead of driving them away, they made slaves. And they did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun, neither did Asher, neither did Naphtali, and so on down through the balance of chapter number 1. All of the children of Israel, as they came into the land, while they were strong, when God was fighting their battles for them, when he was walking with them, and they had opportunity to subdue and to utterly drive out the enemies, they subdued them. But they did not drive them out. They allowed them to remain thinking, get this now, thinking, I've got them under control. I've got this thing under control. I don't have to give up my smoking when I get saved. I've got it under control. I don't have to stop taking a social drink when I get saved. I've got this thing under control. I don't have to give up the kind of materials that I read and the kind of programs that I watch. I've got that under control. I've got Jesus in my life. I'm strong. I don't need to be concerned about any of those things. That's the same mistake, brothers and sisters, that the children of Israel made as they came into the land of promise. And I believe it is a reason why it is difficult for some of us to inherit the full inheritance of God. Because we have permitted, perhaps unwillingly or unwittingly, I should say, some of God's enemies to remain in our life. In the second chapter of the book of Judges, God speaks. First, let us read here in verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that, now listen carefully, they could not any longer stand before their enemies. The word of God says that they couldn't any longer stand. Because the enemies that they had allowed to stay had so weakened their faith, had so diluted what they knew about the promises of God, had so infiltrated their religion, that they no longer had the strength to believe and to receive God's best in the land of promise. Now, I don't know about you, but that witnesses to me. That ministers to me. I have seen it time and time and time again. God's people not knowing why. Why can't I believe? Why can't I receive? Now, I'm not saying that this is always the reason for it, but it is a reason. And I believe God would say to us tonight, if His Spirit is revealing to you that this may be something that has caused you trouble, then now is the time when God is strong in your life, when Israel was strong, to drive those enemies out from where they came and keep them gone. And keep them gone. One lady shared with me, and I don't think anybody else will know this, and I'm not going to use her name, but I'm going to give you this example so that you'll see how significant this is. How significant this is. A lady was talking to me on the phone one day. And she had a problem that she'd had of many years in her life. It was a physical problem. And it was demon caused. She knew it was. And I knew it was. And the Word of God knew it was. She says, I don't know why I can't get taken care of, can't get it taken care of. I said, well, has the Lord ever shown you anything? And she said, well, she said, the only thing, every time I pray about this, I keep feeling like I need to give up drinking coffee. And I said, well, do you drink a lot of coffee? And she said, well, yeah. She said, I've always got a pot at my desk. She's a working lady. Always have a cup there, and I drink coffee at least all morning, I think she said. She drinks a lot of coffee. And I said, well, have you given it up? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? I mean, you know, if God tells you, begin to talk to you about the coffee, if you really want something, you figure you'd go on and give it up, wouldn't you? Amen. And she said, well, do you really think that that could be God? I said, I don't know. You're the one that's praying. I don't know. Now, some of you say, well, now, Vic, now, that is really stupid. What's wrong with coffee? I don't know that there's anything wrong with coffee. Okay? But in this particular situation, God was dealing with that in that woman's life. And I said to her, well, if you want to know if that's it, why don't you just go on and give it up? I mean, what you got to lose except a few cups of coffee? Huh? And she says, well, that makes sense. I'll do it. And she did. And within, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, she was standing at this microphone testifying to her deliverance. See? Now, yeah, this is what it is. This is what it is. It may be, you know, it amazes me. Now, I guess it doesn't amaze me, but I shouldn't say it amazes me. That's not true. But I think there are some people here tonight that would like to have known this right about the time they were saved. Hallelujah. So that they would not have had to go through some of the things they're wanting to go through. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to talk about cigarettes for a minute, all right? I was a chimney. I mean, I smoked like a chimney. If you were around me, it was a chimney. It was going all the time. I'll tell you that cigarettes are one of Satan's bondages. They have no place in the life of a child of God. None whatsoever. Now, I'll tell you this. Cigarettes will not consign you to hell. Don't misunderstand me. Cigarettes are not going to be the reason that any person ever goes to hell. People are going to go to hell, unfortunately, because they have not believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A beer will not send a man to hell. But it is one of the things that the enemy will use to bring him to the place or her to the place where he has robbed him or her of all of his spiritual power and will, in fact, take him there with him. And if the children of God will not get rid of these things, they're in danger. In danger. In danger. The Bible says that they couldn't any longer stand in the presence of their enemies. They couldn't stand anymore. Their enemies came along and mowed them down. That makes me sick. That makes me sick that the people of God, God's chosen and anointed ones, the ones that have been bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be mowed down by that wretched, wicked, filthy Satan. That makes me sick. That doesn't belong to the people of God. But unless we'll do our part, then we will not be able to stand before our enemies. They will be thorns and they'll be pricks and they will be there to punch and to press and to jab at every move we make. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, If God's telling you to get rid of your cigarettes, then for goodness sake and for your own sake, get rid of them. If God is telling you you've got something in your house that you need to get, do you know that the church in the city of Ephesus, in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, did the craziest thing? Do you know that those people in the New Testament church, they were really wide-eyed, wild-eyed fanatics? I mean, the crazy things they did. I'm sure the people around them thought they were absolutely nuts. But do you know one night, after a bunch of them had been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, after Paul's ministry there, that they all went into their houses and they gathered all of the books and all of the artifacts and all of the curious arts which they had from their old life. And they took them out and they made a big fire. And they burned those filthy things. See? They burned. Now, if you talk to somebody today about a book burning, they think, boy, you're really crazy, fanatic over at your church. But I want you to know God by His Holy Spirit says to you tonight that if there's anything in your house that does not befit a child of God, whether it's hanging on the wall or whether it be in the bookshelf or whether it be hidden under your underwear in your dresser drawer, if it does not befit a child of God, you get rid of it. Get it completely out of your house so that you can stand before your enemies. You don't think I knew about underwear in dresser drawers, did you? Huh? Listen, that's a good place. Praise God, I don't need those places anymore. Amen. Amen. As obedient children, whatever God tells you to do, you do it. No matter how silly and how foolish it may sound, you do it. If He says give up the coffee, give up the coffee. What have you got to lose? Amen. All you got to lose is your problem. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now listen to this. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in every area of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In another place in God's word, it says that be at peace one with another and walk in holiness, without which no man shall see God. Jesus said no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve the cause of Jesus Christ and also serve the cause of Satan. If you want to split your allegiance between the good things of God and what you think are the good things of the devil, then you can enjoy eternity with the devil, because that's the way it works. God says no man can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll love him and hate the other. You can't have two masters. You must choose. And God's word says choose holiness. Choose holiness. Get rid of those things. Now I say unto you once again, if you have just recently been born again, and God hasn't dealt with you about any of these things, now is the time to root it all out. Ask God, what is there in my life? Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you just reveal to me anything that's in my life that is displeasing to you. Anything that would harm me. Anything that would weaken me. Whatever it is, I will root it out. I'll get rid of it. If you've been saved for a long time and have never heard this word, and the Spirit of God may be speaking to you tonight, son, that's for you. Daughter, that's for you. Then ask God what it is that may be in your life. And then be obedient to Him and root it out. Just don't permit it to be there. Hey? That's right, isn't it? That's right. See, God gives us all that we need. He gives us the power. He gives us the weapons. I tell you, you can't confess Jesus Christ and smoke grass. You can't confess Jesus Christ and lie. You can't confess Jesus Christ and blaspheme his name on occasion for convenience. God's no fool. He's no jerk. The scripture says, be...